Our reading this morning is from Colossians 3, verses 1 to 11. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Father, as we look at these words, would you use them to equip us to be the people you want us to be? In Jesus' name, amen. Who or what do you think about most? And how does that affect your day-to-day life? These are the issues that Paul is going to deal with as we continue our study in the book of Colossians. And what a joy it has been to journey with Paul as he explains all that is available to those who are in relationship with Jesus. What a privilege it is to know the freedom that God offers to all who trust in Jesus. The freedom to know that we are loved, accepted, forgiven, children of God, not because of anything we've done, but as we've recognized in our service, because of all that Jesus has done for us. Today we'll see that if we trust in Jesus, if we are in relationship with him, if we know that freedom that he alone brings, that will affect who we are, what we focus on, and what we do. This week and next week as well, we'll see how we are to live out our relationship with Jesus, that freedom we have. Now, it may not have escaped your notice that last Sunday, the Lionesses won the European Championship. It was, yeah, you can applaud if you wish to, that's perfectly fine. It was fantastic, but there have been some quite extraordinary claims made about the changes that happened because of this win. Here are the quotes: society will change. Life will never be the same. New opportunities will be available to all. Don't get me wrong, I happened to watch it with some of our Check It Out families, and I was very excited when they won, actually far more excited than the children, if truth be known. But the Bible is clear that radical change in us will only happen when we understand and live out the consequences of being in relationship with Jesus. And so, having shown us that what we have in the Lord Jesus wants us to know how to live out that relationship. Verse 1, since then you have been raised with Christ. Notice Paul's assumption here. He's speaking to those who have life in Jesus. Notice he says, you have been raised with Christ. Not you will be raised, You have been. He's not thinking about the time when we die or Jesus returns and we go to glory. Here he's saying, you have been raised with Christ. When you came to new life in Christ, you have new life. You have been raised. That is a completed act that has already happened. When we come to Jesus, we dead in our sins are made alive in Christ. We are literally raised to new life. And Paul wants us to know how to live out that new life. And fortunately today, we've only got 2 points, and each of them is only 2 words. That should make it easy to remember, shouldn't it? So here it is, the first. Look up. Verse 1. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Paul commands us to set our hearts and minds on things above. Indeed, in 2 verses, he says the phrase 2 times in 2 slightly different ways. This repetition is important, as in verse 1, he tells us to set our hearts on things above, and in verse 2, our minds. He wants our emotional state to be set on things above, and our thought to be centered on Jesus. This daily holding fast of Christ as the center and source of our life is both exciting and challenging at the same time. But what does this actually look like in day-to-day life? Well, once we become a Christian, our view of where our true home is changes. No longer is this world our home, heaven is. And so Paul wants us to fill our hearts and minds with thoughts of heaven. And he highlights 2 aspects of heaven here. Firstly, in verse 1, that Christ is seated at the right hand of God. That reminds us that we focus on the fact that Christ's work of redemption, rescue, is completed. He sits at the right hand of God. And what's he doing there? He's interceding for all those who trust in the Lord Jesus. What an awesome thought that is, pleading our case. We look up and remember that. And we look up, verse 4, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory, that we will be in glory with Jesus. And Paul's point here is that if we think of the glory that we're going to share with Jesus, then all this life gets put in the right perspective. Now you can imagine, the Colossians rolling their eyes. Perhaps they have the equivalent of our statement, he's too heavenly minded to be any earthly use. You can imagine them thinking, Paul, you don't know what my life is like, the challenges I face at work, with my finances at home. If you have my family, mate. Paul himself knew much difficulty, was busy, had many responsibilities. And as we shall see as we travel on in the book, he expects us to fulfill our responsibilities on earth. But Paul knows the best way for us to live this life is to live it looking up. The more we live this life emotionally and in our thoughts, focused on Jesus and heaven, the more we experience the glorious freedom of being a loved, accepted, forgiven child of God. The more we'll be able to be the people, both individually and as a church family, God wants us to be. Notice, though, that Paul recognizes that this is not easy. Set your hearts. Set your minds. This is an effort of will. We have a choice. The choice we have is, will we obey this command or not? You see, this is a command. You and I can't pick and choose. You can't go, oh no, I don't want to do that. We are told, commanded, set your hearts, set your minds. The choice is, are we going to do that? You know, I would love to tell you that all you have to do is lie on your sun lounger and say to God, sock it to me. And you think of heaven all the time. But it ain't like that. You and I need to set our hearts, to set our minds, to make the choice to obey this command. Now, of course, the Spirit helps us to do that. But we need to be committed to this. Is it easy to get our hearts and minds focused on heaven, on Jesus? No, it isn't. Is it good for us to do? Yes. For our home is in heaven. Anne and I have had the privilege of living in some very nice houses. We don't own any of them. They come with a job. In that sense, we live in a temporary home. Do we think that it's temporary every day? No, we don't. We often forget. Of course, when the day comes and I've stopped being vicar of Christ Church St Andrews, do you know what? The church are going to take it back. How mean is that? You see, I know the home is temporary. I don't always think about it, though. Jesus and God want us to recognize that our home here is temporary. Always recognize that fact. So to live with our eyes looking up. Paul knows that if we set our hearts and minds in the right place, we'll have the best opportunity to be the person God wants us to be able to help others and be an example to them. This week, if I'm honest, there have been times when it has felt like my life is overwhelming me. If I continue to look at what is around me, it feels incredibly overwhelming. This week I happened to need to redo the picture of the ministry leadership team and remove various photos. And as I sat there doing it, I thought, this feels overwhelming. How am I going to cope with it? What am I going to do when life feels like that? I think I have to do is look up. Actually, I need to do that whether life is overwhelming or not. But when life is overwhelming, sometimes we find it harder to look up. How did I do? Well, I give you permission to ask me afterwards. New life in means we look up. But it also means we take off. Verse 5. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. In verse 2, Paul has already mentioned earthly things, and now he explains what he means by earthly things. It's important to note as we start that Paul is looking at things that are no longer appropriate for a Christian. And Paul wants all who follow Jesus to not use the freedom they have as an excuse for license. He wants us to live as Jesus wants us to live. So this week we'll look at what we have to take off, and next week at what we've got to put on. And the first thing he says about this taking off is it is to be committed and total. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. The language here is incredibly strong. Put to death means have nothing to do with those previous thoughts and emotions that you had that do not honor God. Put them to death. They're not part of you anymore. Whatever. Put to death what? Whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Paul has a total demand here. He knows God wants us to be committed to the changed life that comes when Jesus breathes new life into us. Now, it's really easy for us who rejoice in God's forgiveness rightly and properly to downplay how much God wants to deal with the sin in our lives. God hates sin. He hates it in his followers as much as he hates it in the world. Just because he's dealt with it in his followers doesn't mean he doesn't hate it still. He does. And he expects us to be totally committed to dealing with the sin, which we all know is still there in our lives. Before we came to faith, we could not deal with it. Now we can. Now, God knows we won't perfectly deal with the sin in our life, but that doesn't mean we should be less committed to stamping it out. There is a weekly event after Check It Out and Bayek Night on Tuesday at St. Andrew's. The weekly event is the rush for the Hoover. And somebody has to gets the Hoover and has to clean the carpet. They know that they can't get all the marks up. But I've watched people do it. Boys, are they committed. It's impressive. I think they're more committed than I'd ever be, if I'm perfectly honest. You and I, in a much more significant and important way, totally committed to dealing with the sin that easily entices us. We need to take off things that are part of our earthly nature. Now, Paul here gives two particular areas where he sees that working. And the first is in the area of sexual sin. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed. That isn't a greed for things, that's a greed for inappropriate sexual experience. Which turns into idolatry when it becomes the things we absolutely want above everything else. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. Paul says, put those to death. Why? Because God is angry. Isn't it helpful that God is angry with sexual sin? There are now very credible reports that people traffickers in Ukraine are taking young girls, promising them a new life, and selling them into the sex trade. I'm delighted that God hates that sin. Delighted that he hates the sin when I think lustfully about a woman, because that one's more challenging. This hate of sin is because of what it does to people. Through Paul is reminding us that we need to be done with that sort of wrong sexual gratification. And he warns us that we probably won't have noticed that before we came to faith. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. You and I need to take off in the area of damaging sexual sin, but also in damaging relational sin. But now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on your new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. This is not an also. You can't take off one and not the other. He's saying you've got to do both. And by the way, these are just two examples. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. The ones here are sins that damage relationships: anger and rage, malice and slander, filthy language, lying. We have to not do those as Christians. Why? because we have a new nature, a nature which reflects God's character. And God is truthful, not a liar. God is holy and clean, not a filthy speaker. God is one who builds up, not one who slanders. One who treats us kindly, not one who is full of rage. When we come to Christ, we are given a new nature. I had a really lovely experience on Wednesday afternoon. I've asked this person's permission to say this, so don't panic when you think, has he asked permission? I have. I met with a lady who's been coming to church for a little while, and she and I were talking, and she just began to talk about what God was doing in her lives. And she said that some of her friends who are not churchgoers had asked her, why have you started being so nice? And she was a bit shocked that they thought she wasn't being so nice beforehand, to be perfectly honest. She has a new nature. She's putting on herself, and it's recognized. Now, the danger as we go on is we get to the point where we just go, oh, that's just me. God knows that's my character. That's what I'm like. That's who I am. It's not good enough. We are to take off the things that are part of our new self. And notice how Paul says there is no one excluded from this. I know this verse is ripped out of its concept so many times, but read it in context. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is in all, is all and is in all. He's saying there is none of us, if we claim to follow the Lord Jesus, who can go, I don't have to do this. Here, in this desire to look up and take off, there is no difference between any of us. We are all equally called to do it. Two seemingly very simple commands. Look up, take off. They're not hard to understand. They're just difficult to do, aren't they? That's the challenge. I reckoned if I'd set you this passage and gone away and thought about it for a bit, a number of you would have said, you know, Anthony, I can get to what this is saying. Perhaps you'd like to preach it. Perhaps you wouldn't, because I tell you, engaging with this week has been really challenging. The world around us, our own self, what we are experiencing, makes it hard sometimes for us to look up and take off. Now, fortunately, next week we'll learn that we're not in this alone. We have Christian brothers and sisters to help us. We have God's Spirit at work in us. But today, as I close, I want to ask you two simple questions that I've asked myself this week. Will you obey the command to look up? Will you set your heart and mind on heaven and on Christ, that being there? Question one. Secondly, will you take off the earthly nature? Those sins you've excused, perhaps for weeks, months, or years. But you know the Lord is telling you this morning, take it off. Will you obey his command? We're going to have, because each of us needs to engage with the Lord ourselves on these things, a moment or two quiet. Let's reflect together. Father, help us. Help us as individuals and as a church family to be those who look up, remain focused on Christ, on our home in heaven. Help us to be those who take off and are committed to taking off everything that belongs to our earthly nature. Not just the things we find easy, but everything, Lord. In Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.